All right, so today we're diving deep into something that's, well, it's pretty relevant for anyone trying to navigate the legal side of running a business.
Definitely.
We're looking at a Supreme Court case, Marshall v. Barlers, Inc. It's from way back in 1978, but it still has a lot to say about where the line gets drawn between, you know, government oversight and your rights as a business owner.
Yeah, it's one of those foundational cases, you know. It really sets the stage for understanding when, like, a safety inspector can just walk into your business, or when they might actually need a warrant. It's a good one.
It's a good one. So let's unpack it.
Absolutely.
Before we get into the specifics of the case, I think it's helpful to just take a step back and think about OSHA, right?
Yeah.
The Occupational Safety and Health Administration.
Right, OSHA.
Their whole job is to, you know, ensure safe working environments.
Exactly.
And that obviously involves inspections.
Yeah.
But you can see how that kind of butts heads with the whole idea of, you know, constitutional rights, the right to privacy.
Yeah, the Fourth Amendment comes into play here, big time.
Huge, yeah.
Because on the one hand, you have the government's interest in making sure workplaces are safe.
Right.
But on the other hand, you have business owners saying, hey, this is my property. You can't just barge in here without a good reason.
Exactly.
And that's really the tension that Barlow's gets at.
That's what this whole case is about.
Yeah.
So let's go back in time a bit.
Right.
Paint the scene.
Right.
September 1975.
Okay.
We're in Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
An OSHA inspector shows up at Barlow's, Inc.
An electrical and plumbing business.
Exactly.
Okay.
And they want to do a what they considered a routine safety check.
You know, standard procedure.
Yeah.
Making the rounds.
But the owner of the business, Bill Barlow, says, not so fast, you need a warrant.
Oh, interesting.
He's standing firm on his Fourth Amendment rights.
He knew his rights.
He did.
That's good.
He did.
Hung for him.
And this is where it gets even more interesting.
Okay, I'm hooked.
Because a few months down the line, the Secretary of Labor goes to court and gets a court order.
A court order demanding access
to the business.
So basically saying, let us in. We have a legal right now.
Yeah, a judge has signed off on this,
yeah.
But Barlow still refuses.
Oh, wow. He doubled down.
Doubles down.
He's serious.
He actually goes a step further and tries to get an injunction to stop OSHA from doing these warrantless searches altogether.
So he's not just fighting for himself here.
No.
He's making a bigger point.
He's making a statement.
Right.
And it's important to understand, I think, that he wasn't necessarily trying to hide anything nefarious.
Yeah, it wasn't about hiding violations. It was about the principle.
It was a matter of principle.
Yeah.
It was about defining the boundaries of privacy rights for businesses.
Yeah, where does the government's authority end and a business owner's right to privacy begin?
Exactly.
Huge question.
It's a huge question, and it's one that, you know, obviously went all the way up to the Supreme Court.
Right to the top.
Right to the top.
All right, so Supreme Court, what they have to say about this?
So the central question that the court had to grapple with boils down to this.
Okay.
Does Section 8A of the Occupational Safety and Health Act,
which is what gave OSHA the power to do these inspections in the first place.
Exactly.
Right.
Does that violate the Fourth Amendment?
The Fourth Amendment's protection against unreasonable searches.
Yeah.
That's a big one.
It's a big one.
Because you have to think, we're not talking about the police investigating a crime here.
No.
This is an administrative inspection.
Right.
It's about making sure regulations are being followed.
Right.
But does that mean the Constitution, you know, takes a back seat?
Does that change the standards?
Yeah.
Should the reason for the search change what the Constitution requires?
It's a fascinating question.
It really is.
Because we all have an expectation of privacy, right?
Yeah.
But does that expectation shift depending on the context?
Yeah. So in this case, how did the court balance those interests?
Well, ultimately, they sided with Barlow.
With the business owner.
Yeah. The majority opinion was written by Justice White.
Okay.
And their holding was pretty clear.
Oh,
they said, look, the Fourth Amendment absolutely applies to commercial properties.
So businesses don't just lose all privacy rights.
Exactly. Just because you own a business doesn't mean you give up your constitutional protections.
Right.
That's a fundamental point.
And it's a point that's relevant to so many other areas of law, too.
Oh, absolutely. It sets a precedent.
Yeah.
It has implications far beyond just OSHA inspections.
Right.
This idea that the Fourth Amendment protects businesses mm-hmm. as well as individuals, that's huge.
Now, I know the court also talked about this idea of pervasively regulated industries.
Oh, yes. That's an important exception.
So what is that all about?
Okay, so the court recognized that there are some industries out there that have historically been subject to a ton of government oversight.
Like, can you give me an example?
Sure. Think about the alcohol industry.
Oh.
or firearms dealers. These are industries where, because of the nature of the business, there's a strong public interest in making sure they're operating safely and legally.
Right.
And in those cases, warrantless searches have sometimes been allowed.
So it's like if you're in one of these heavily regulated industries, your expectation of privacy is lower.
Exactly. You know, going in that the government is going to be more involved in your business.
Yeah.
But the court made it very clear that a general business like Barlow's, an electrical and plumbing outfit,
right,
they didn't fall into that category.
It's not like selling firearms or alcohol.
Right. It's not inherently dangerous or posing a unique risk to the public.
Okay. So just because a business is subject to some regulations,
right,
doesn't mean they have zero expectation of privacy.
Exactly.
Got it.
So that's a key distinction.
That's helpful.
Yeah.
Now, I'm curious, what about the argument that, you know, requiring warrants would just make it impossible for OSHA to do its job?
Yeah, that was a concern raised by the dissent.
So did the court address that?
They did. And they acknowledge that efficient safety inspections are important.
Of course.
But they also said that constitutional rights can't just be brushed aside.
Right.
So they offered a solution.
Okay.
What are called ex parte warrants.
Ex parte warrants.
Have you ever heard of those?
I'm familiar, yeah. But maybe you could explain for our listeners who aren't.
Sure. So basically, an ex parte warrant is a warrant that OSHA can obtain from a judge without having to notify the business owner beforehand.
So it's like a secret permission slip.
Exactly.
Okay.
They go to the judge, present their case for why an inspection is necessary, and if the judge agrees,
they get the warrant.
Yep, and then they can show up unannounced.
So it preserves that element of surprise.
Exactly, which can be really important for making sure businesses are actually complying with safety regulations.
Because if you know an inspector is coming, you might quickly fix things up.
Exactly. You might sweep things under the rug.
Right. So the ex parte warrant is a way to balance those competing interests.
Right. The need for effective inspections and the protection of Fourth Amendment rights.
It's a compromise.
It is.
Okay. So they still need a warrant, but they don't have to tip their hand to the business.
Precisely.
Okay.
And this brings us to another important concept. Probable cause.
Right, because we usually hear that term in the context of criminal law.
Exactly.
So how does probable cause work in the context of these administrative warrants?
It's a little different.
Yeah.
For a criminal warrant, you generally need evidence that a specific crime has been committed.
Right, you need some reasonable suspicion that something illegal is going on.
Right.
But for an OSHA warrant, it's not quite like that.
No. Probable cause can be established by showing that the inspection is part of a reasonable administrative plan.
So it's less about targeting a specific business because you think they're doing something wrong.
Right.
And more about, you know, it's time to check up on this type of business based on neutral criteria.
Exactly. Like maybe there's a higher risk of safety violations in a particular industry.
Or maybe it's just part of a regular inspection schedule.
Right. So it's not arbitrary. It's based on some rational criteria.
Okay, so it's a lower threshold for probable cause.
In a way, yes, because the focus is on ensuring compliance with regulations, mm-hmm. not on investigating a specific crime.
Okay, and the court, I imagine, took this approach because they recognize that the government does have a legitimate interest in workplace safety.
Absolutely. They weren't saying OSHA couldn't inspect businesses at all.
Right.
It was about making sure those inspections were conducted in a way that respected constitutional rights.
So it's not a free pass for OSHA.
No, it's about striking a balance.
And in fact, there's a quote from the majority opinion that really underscores that point.
Oh, yeah, the one about unbridled discretion.
Yeah, tell me about that.
The court basically said that allowing inspectors to just show up whenever and wherever they wanted without any oversight.
Right.
That's a recipe for abuse.
So they're really emphasizing the need for some checks and balances. Now, of course, it wouldn't be a Supreme Court case without a dissenting opinion.
True. There's always another perspective.
So in this case, Justice Stevens wrote the dissent.
Right.
What was his take on all of this?
Well, he basically argued that if Congress, in creating OSHA and giving them the power to conduct these inspections,
right,
if Congress has already determined that those inspections are reasonable,
then the court shouldn't automatically require a warrant.
Right. He felt like the court was maybe overstepping its role a bit.
Okay. So his argument was that Congress, in creating OSHA, had already considered the issue of reasonableness.
Exactly. And they had put in place certain safeguards.
Oh, like what?
Well, OSHA had its own rules and procedures for selecting businesses for inspection.
Right.
Often based on things like the industry's risk level or history of violations.
Okay.
And Stevens argued that these existing safeguards were enough to prevent arbitrary inspections.
So he didn't think adding a blanket warrant requirement would really add much protection.
Right, and he was concerned that it might actually hinder OSHA's ability to effectively ensure workplace safety.
Okay, so we have the majority saying, generally, you need a warrant.
Right.
And the dissent saying, not necessarily, especially if Congress has already considered the issue of reasonableness.
That's a good summary.
So how do we make sense of all of this?
Well, I think the key takeaway from Marshall v. Barlow's is that it establishes a significant Fourth Amendment protection for businesses.
Against arbitrary government inspections.
Exactly.
It says that even though you operate in a regulated space, you don't just give up all your privacy rights.
Right. Unless, as we discussed earlier, you're in one of those pervasively regulated industries.
Right, where there's a long history of intense government oversight and the public interest is really high.
Right. Think things like nuclear power plants or maybe pharmaceutical manufacturing.
Okay, so beyond just OSHA, this case has had a broader impact, right?
Yeah.
It's shaped how we think about administrative warrants in general.
Yeah, the principle established in Barlow's has been applied to inspections by other agencies, like the EPA and the FDA.
So if an agency wants to come onto your property and you're not in one of those super heavily regulated industries,
they usually need a warrant.
Got it.
It's become the standard.
Now, for our law students listening, what are some of the key takeaways from this case, some of the nuances that they should really be paying attention to?
Well, first and foremost, it's crucial to understand the difference between administrative warrants and criminal warrants.
Right, because the standard for probable cause is different. You don't have to show that a specific crime has been committed to get an administrative warrant.
Right, you just have to show that the inspection is part of a reasonable administrative plan.
Based on neutral criteria.
Right.
And then, of course, there's that whole issue of pervasively regulated industries.
Yeah, it's important to be able to distinguish between industries that fall under that exception and those that don't.
Right, because not every business that's subject to some regulation is automatically subject to warrantless searches.
Absolutely. The level of regulation has to be very significant and historically rooted.
And then finally, I think it's worth revisiting the whole concept of ex parte warrants.
Yeah, those are a key part of this whole framework.
Because they allow for those unannounced inspections.
Right, which can be crucial for ensuring compliance.
But they still require judicial oversight.
Exactly. OSHA can't just go around barging into businesses willy-nilly.
They have to go to a judge and make their case.
And the judge acts as a check on their power.
So even though it's an administrative context, there's still a layer of protection for businesses' Fourth Amendment rights.
Absolutely.
So to wrap it all up, Marshall v. Barlow's is a landmark case because it really underscores this idea.
Okay.
Even when the government is trying to do something important, like ensuring workplace safety.
Right.
They still have to respect constitutional limits.
Exactly. It's about balancing those interests.
Government power is not absolute.
It's a foundational principle of our legal system.
And I think Barlow's is a great example of that principle in action.
I agree.
So the next time you hear about, you know, workplace inspections or environmental regulations, mm-hmm. take a moment to think about the Barlow's case.
Yeah.
Ask yourself, would this inspection meet the standards set by the court?
It's a good thought experiment.
It is. It really makes you think about that delicate balance between the need for regulation and the protection of individual and business rights.
Absolutely.
Well, this has been a fascinating deep dive.
It has.
Thanks for joining me.
My pleasure.
Until next time.
See you then.